The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful morning. We have some sunshine in winter. On behalf of our church family here, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning, or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are attending this service via Zoom, and to those who will listen to the church service from our website. Now, the intimations are as printed out in the order of service in your hand. I would like to make mention of two quick ones. The first is our evening service tonight. Back in Cameroon, we have communion every month, but here we have communion officially twice a year. And so it's of great benefit, spiritual benefit, when we have another one arranged. So tonight we'll be having communion. Please, the time is 6:30 here in our church. Secondly, the World Day of Prayer, organized by Nigeria, we will be having that at 2 p.m. on the 6th of March. All are invited to that service. You can read about other things in the order of service. Let us now take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn 132, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. Let us pray. Almighty and covenant-keeping God, you are the Lord who brings your people out of bondage into spaces into spacious places of promise and provision. You give what we did not build, harvest what we did not plant, and blessings we did not earn. We draw near to you with gratitude and reverence, for you alone are God. You are faithful in every generation, steadfast in love, abundant in mercy. Yet as we come into your holy presence, we confess how easily we forget. When we are satisfied, we fail to remember you. When life is comfortable, we grow careless. When blessings increase, devotion can decrease. Forgive us, Lord, for fearing other things more than we fear you, for trusting in wealth, security, or reputation more than in your faithful word. Forgive us for testing you through our impatience, for doubting your provision, and for allowing rival loyalties to settle in our hearts. Dear Father, you have called us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, yet our love is often divided. Cleanse us by your grace, renew in us a holy reverence, turn our hearts back to you alone, that we may worship you without compromise and serve you without distraction. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme, 337, 40 days and 40 nights. Good morning, children. Good morning, happy children. Are you happy? All happy this morning? It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? It's very bright outside. So what have you been up to this week?
This morning we went to Junior Park and we got a half marathon.
At Junior Park? Wow.
Junior Park.
Okay. What for?
We just do it for fun.
You just do it for fun? Lucky you. It's good. Who else? What have you been doing this week? Yes?
Yesterday, me and Sophie went to ballet and we got our pirate costumes for the show we're doing.
You went to ballet?
Yeah, we got pirate costumes for the show we're doing.
Oh, beautiful. That's nice. I think Aria used to go to ballet, did you? Some time ago. Okay. It's good. So today we are back in church. I want to start with questions as usual. Do you people know what a temptation is? Temptation. Have you ever heard the word temptation? Yes?
It's like when someone offers to give you what you want or need.
Okay, when someone offers to give you what you want or what you need. Sounds a good answer. I'm trying to work my head around that one. Temptation. Okay. Another one, person wants to try? Temptation. When they say you are tempted to do something, what does it mean? Yeah.
It kind of means like, say somebody offers to give you money, but you in the Bible story where Jesus, I'm pretty sure, when he goes to the desert.
Yes.
And he has to start, he's tempted.
He's tempted in the desert. That's correct. Okay, let me ask you a question. Now, imagine that you are told not to have a biscuit before dinner and you really, really want one. How does that sound? You are tempted to have one. You have been told not to have a biscuit before dinner, but you are really tempted to have one. You really feel like I must have something. Or again, you've been told not to do something, but something inside you is saying you should do it, and you know it's not right, but you want to do it. An example is not coming to mind easily, but something is telling you do something you are not supposed to do. Or maybe you have been dared to do something to prove that you are very strong. For example, climbing a tall tree and trying to jump. If you jump from a very tall tree, what will happen to you? You can break your legs, right? It's not a good thing. So you go and your friend tells you, you can jump, you are very strong. If you jump from that tall tree, you will be a very powerful man, a superman. All those things are called temptations. So in the Bible, Jesus was tempted. Do you know how he was tempted? Yes, let's take some answers. The devil, to turn a rock into bread and eat. Okay. Yes, another one.
He also tempted him to jump off the building and say that angels will catch him if he really is the son of God.
Cool. You know the story. Another one. Yes. That he should worship him, yeah? And he will give him riches. Can we put our hands together for these children? They know the story. They know the story. They know the story. So the devil said, turn these stones into bread and eat. Because he knew that Jesus had the power, so he wanted him to misuse his power. And Jesus was hungry. So if you are hungry, sometimes it's the best way Satan can take advantage of you by bringing you food that you don't need at that time. And again, he said, jump from a tall building. I just spoke to you about jumping from a tree. And if you jump, nothing will happen to you because the angels will protect you since you are a super person or a superman. And again, the devil said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you everything. Give you so much wealth. These things sound familiar. Can you remember some temptations you've had in your own life? Can you remember any temptation you've had in school? Have you been tempted to do something that is not correct? Temptation. Maybe, for example, your friends tell you school is not a good thing. It's a temptation because we know that school is good. I don't think if I didn't go to school, I would be a minister. You have to go to school to be a minister. You have to go to school to achieve good things also in life. School is good. And again, your friends may deceive you not to go to class even when you are in school. Or somebody can even tell you that, why are you going to church? We should go to play football instead of going to church. So there are many ways that the devil tempts us, and usually it's about something that we may really like or something that we may like to do, but at that time, that's not what God wants for us. And so how did Jesus respond to the devil? Does anyone remember? What did Jesus say? When the devil said, turn stones into bread and eat, what did Jesus say to the devil? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Can we repeat that? Man shall not live by bread alone. Can you all say that? Man shall not live by bread alone. What does that mean? It means that food is good, but there are other things which are also important. But the point here is that Jesus used the word of God to survive the temptation that Jesus was bringing on him. And whenever somebody tells us to do something that is not right, we can talk about God. We can think about what we learned in the Sunday school and in church and say, no, I don't think that is correct because the Bible tells us something different. So we all need to guard against temptation. And in doing that, we have to pray and to continue to study the Word of God. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you because of the things that we learn from it. And today we are talking about the temptation of Jesus and also our own temptations. We pray, O God, that your word will continue to be a lamp to our feet and a light on our path. We thank you for our children and we pray for what they learn too, that they will continue to grow in their faith. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have birthday blessings.
Good morning. Has anybody had a birthday in the last little while and would like to come up? I've not done it for a little while, so even if it was a wee while ago, you can come up. Anna Danielle, have you had a birthday? Do you want to come up? Would you like to tell everyone your name?
No.
No. Well, this is my lovely friend, Anna Danielle. And how old are you now?
4.
Wow. And what do you like to do? Where do you go in the week when your big brothers and sisters go to school? Where do you go?
Nothing.
Nursery.
Yep.
You go to nursery. And what's your favourite thing to do there?
Play.
That sounds good. And what do you like doing at home?
Nothing.
I think you have lots of fun with your big brothers and sisters, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's sing Happy Birthday to Anna Danielle.
Happy birthday to you, to Jesus be true. God bless you.
Just say a little prayer over you, okay? Let us pray. Lord God, thank you so much for the children here. Thank you that we get to celebrate birthdays and share it amongst our friends and family. I'd specifically like to pray for Anna Danielle as she enters in this next year of her life, as she makes lots of new discoveries and lots of fun at nursery playing and time spent with family. Lord, please look after her and bring her peace. Amen.
Our next theme is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. It's 641.
Thank you. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, reading verses 10 to 17. Deuteronomy chapter 6, found on Pew Bible page 185 or on the overhead behind me. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. And our New Testament reading is the story of the temptation of Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 4, reading the first 11 verses, page 967 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Amen. And our thanks to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn, hymn 448, "Lord, the light of your love is shining."
Shine on me, shine.
Let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, you spoke over your Son, "This is my beloved," and through him you have spoken that same word of grace over us. As we turn to your word, quiet every competing voice within us and around us. Help us to hear not only with our ears, but with obedient hearts, that we may trust you more deeply, worship you more faithfully, and walk as your beloved children in this world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to think with you this morning on the theme, resisting the subtle bargains of the age. Resisting the subtle bargains of the age. A man once told his minister that he had finally given up chocolate for Lent. The minister congratulated him warmly until the man added, "Well, I have given up buying it. If someone offers it to me, I don't want to be rude." We smile because we recognize ourselves in that logic. We want the appearance of discipline without the cost of it. We want the reward without the resistance. And that, in a small and humorous way, is how temptation often works. It negotiates with our identity while pretending to respect it. St. Augustine of Hippo famously prayed, "Lord, make me pure, but not yet." And closer to our home or to our own time, the Ghanaian theologian Kwame Bediako observed that identity in Christ is never self-created, but received and lived in obedience. And the Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor has written about our age as one shaped by expressive individualism, where the highest good is to be true to oneself. All three voices across centuries and continents remind us that the central spiritual struggle is about who we believe we are and how we choose to live out that identity. That is precisely where Matthew takes us in his gospel. In Matthew 3:17 to chapter 4, verse 11, immediately after Jesus is baptized, the heavens open and a voice declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved." Before a sermon is preached or a miracle performed, Jesus Christ is named. Identity precedes activity. The Father speaks love before the Son does anything to earn it. Then, without pause, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. Matthew, writing to a community deeply rooted in the scriptures of Israel, wants us to see the echo. 40 days in the wilderness mirror Israel's 40 years. Jesus relieves Israel's story. But where Israel faltered, he remains faithful. The devil approaches not with horns and flames, but with a question that quietly erodes certainty. "If you are the Son of God," not "things," but "if," "are you really? Prove it." Now, the first temptation seems simple enough. Jesus is hungry. "Command these stones to become bread." On the surface, it is about food, but beneath it lies a deeper suggestion. Use your status for yourself. If you are God's son, why suffer? Why wait? Why not satisfy your need immediately? Now, in the ancient world, Son of God could describe Israel's king or even Caesar himself. Sons of God did not go hungry, they displayed power. Jesus answers from Deuteronomy, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." He refuses to define sonship as privilege. Instead, he embraces dependence. He will trust the Father for provision rather than grasp at control. This is where the wilderness meets Newport-on-Tay and the wider landscape of secular Britain. We live in a culture that tells us daily that we are consumers before we are creatures. If we are hungry, we must feed ourselves. If we desire, we must satisfy. Advertising whispers that fulfillment is just one purchase away. Bodily appetite, financial appetite, sexual appetite, the appetite for comfort, all are presented as rights. The devil's promise is immediate relief. The cost is subtle erosion. Integrity traded for convenience, purity traded for pleasure, and calling traded for comfort. Stones become bread for a moment, but the soul grows lean. The second temptation shifts the setting to the pinnacle of the temple. This time the devil quotes scripture, suggesting that if Jesus throws himself down, angels will catch him. It is not a temptation to despair, but to spectacle. If you trust God, prove it dramatically. Force his hand. Make him act. Again, Jesus turns to Deuteronomy. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. He recalls Israel at Massa, demanding proof that God was among them. True faith does not manipulate God into performance. It rests in what he has already spoken. Dear friends, in our context, this temptation often takes the form of impatience and spiritual presumption. We say we trust God, yet we demand visible success, measurable growth, and immediate answers. Secular Britain prizes visibility. Influence is counted in followers, worth in productivity, and success in the platform. The unspoken creed is that if something is not impressive, it is insignificant. Even the church can feel that pressure. The devil's offer is recognition without waiting and significance without surrender. You deserve more, he murmurs. You should be further ahead. And so we are tempted to leap into decisions not prayed through, into ministries not rooted in obedience, into compromises that promise quick results. We may gain applause, but we lose the quiet strength that comes from trusting God in obscurity. The final temptation is the most brazen. From a high mountain, the devil shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All these I will give you if you will fall and worship me. It is an offer of authority without the cross, glory without suffering, a crown without obedience. Jesus responds with words that anchor his entire mission. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. He refuses a shortcut to kingship. Matthew's readers would know that at the end of the gospel, the reason Christ declares all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Authority does come, but as the Father's gift, not the devil's bargain. What does secular Britain offer in exchange for our souls? Sometimes success without sacrifice, advancement without humility, and a curated life without repentance. The promise is that we can have the world and keep our faith private, discreet, and undemanding. Compromise is reframed as wisdom. Moral clarity is softened into tolerance, and worship is redirected from God to career and from Christ to self. Yet every bargain has a hidden clause. We may gain status and lose peace. We may gain comfort and lose courage. We may gain influence and lose intimacy with God. The good life in Christ, a life of communion, character, and quiet joy, cannot be bought at the price of divided worship. Throughout the gospel, the same taunt returns. At Caesarea Philippi, when Peter recoils from the idea of a suffering Messiah, Jesus recognizes the old voice behind the protest and says, "Get behind me, Satan." At the cross, passers-by mock, "If you are the Son of God, come down." The temptation is consistent. Avoid the path of costly obedience. Prove yourself by escaping suffering. But Jesus Christ remains, and in remaining, he reveals what it truly means to be the beloved Son. Sonship is not proven by power displayed, but by obedience sustained. Not by escaping the cross, but by trusting the Father through it. For us too, identity precedes activity. In Christ, we are named beloved before we achieve anything. The wilderness seasons we face are not detours from destiny, but part of God's formation. Temptation exposes what we trust and whom we worship. So today we must ask gently but honestly, where are our stones being turned into bread? Where are we leaping from pinnacle to prove ourselves? Where are we bowing, even slightly, before the kingdoms of this age? The enemy's strategy has not changed. He questions our identity, magnifies our appetite, inflames our pride, and accelerates our ambition. Yet God offers something greater than bread, spectacle or splendor. He offers himself. In Christ, the beloved Son, we are invited into a life that may not dazzle the world, but will endure beyond it. A life rooted in trust, shaped by obedience, and crowned in God's time with glory that no bargain could ever secure. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your word and for the example of your Son, who trusted you in the wilderness and refused the easy bargain. When we leave this place, strengthen us for the temptations we will face this week. When we are hungry for comfort, teach us to hunger for your truth. When we are tempted to prove ourselves, remind us that we are already your beloved. When our voices call for our loyalty, when other voices call for our loyalty, keep our hearts faithful to you alone. By your Spirit, help us to choose trust over grasping, obedience over applause, and worship over compromise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is "Nearer, My God, to Thee." I've just been told the words are only being projected. They are not on the order of service. I hope we will all try to sing from the screens.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer,
Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious and generous God, you did not spare your own Son, but gave him for us all. And in Christ, you have given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. As we bring our offerings before you, the work of our hands, the gifts of our labor, the time, energy, and resources you have first placed in our care, we confess that all we have comes from you. Use our gifts for the building up of your church in this place, for the witness of Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, for the strengthening of the weary, and for the proclamation of Christ in word and in deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray. Faithful God, you led your Son through the wilderness and sustained him when he was tempted. We come before you now with the needs of your church, our nation, and your world. We pray for your church here and throughout Scotland. Keep us rooted in our true identity as your beloved people. Where we are tempted to measure faithfulness by numbers or to soften the truth for approval, grant us courage and humility. Strengthen ministers, elders, and all who serve. Renew congregations that feel small or discouraged. And make your church a community of integrity, prayer, and quiet joy. We pray for our country. In a society shaped by consumerism and competition, where worth is often measured by wealth or visibility, restore in us a hunger for righteousness and truth. Give wisdom to those in authority, integrity to those in public life, and compassion in our public discourse. Where there is division, sow patience. Where there is cynicism, raise up hope. Where policies affect the vulnerable, guide decisions toward justice and mercy. We pray for the nations of the world, for places torn by conflict, for communities scarred by poverty, for regions suffering from disaster or instability. Restrain the ambitions of those who seek power at any cost. Protect those who suffer for their faith. Provide daily bread for the hungry, safety for the displaced, and comfort for those who mourn. We remember those known personally to us, the sick and the frail, the anxious and the depressed, the grieving and the lonely. In their wilderness seasons, be their strength. When they are tempted to despair, speak again your word of belovedness. When they are weary of waiting, surround them with patient friends and tangible signs of your care. And we pray for ourselves. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Reveal the stones we are tempted to turn to bread, the pinnacles from which we long to leap, the kingdoms before which we are tempted to bow. By your Spirit, steady our steps. Teach us to trust rather than grasp, to wait rather than demand, to worship rather than bargain. We thank you that in Christ, the obedient Son who endured the cross, our destiny is secure not in our strength, but in your grace. Hear these prayers, spoken and unspoken, for we offer them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our final hymn is Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble, hymn 513. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.